We are often afraid of what people would say than the sacrifices it takes to make our dreams come true. To get more of that, you can go on Instagram at Otto G. Jones and enjoy. On today's episode, we will be hearing the truth of our economy and some opportunities you can key into and why it is needful and critical to reinvent yourself. The world is changing and so must you. On today's episode, on today's story, meet Charles, who, having lost everything, was given another chance by the world's change. The world is changing. Nobody thought that the whole world could shut down, but it did. But on a lighter note, coronavirus has done what no woman can ever do, ever, not even in the past or now. It's been able to close down sports arenas, shut down events, stop the whole world and keep the men at home. No woman has done that, have they? But Queen Corona did. So yeah, she's powerful. But what is she trying to tell us at this time? It is very needful to start reevaluating and reinventing yourself. This is Nigeria Jollof and I'm Guinevere Jones. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. It's still Nigeria Jollof. Questions and anxiety rises as we've watched the exponential growth of the virus in our country. While many face the fear and paranoia of the COVID-19, other Nigerians face more terrific terror in their lives. These people have risen up to the task to defend the ones they love. And this terror is the fear of bandits coming into their homes, even in broad daylight, to steal, rape, sometimes leaving the ones they love dead. Many Nigerians are not born to be vigilantes or watchmen over their communities and family, but these times have made them to rise up to their task to defend the ones they love. And so far, it's paying off. And yes, they want the government to intervene, and yes, in some places, it has been taken care of or trying to take care of it, but the one is sustainable and effective, and that's why they're still keeping watch. It's not a funny experience. I too experience it. One time I slept with a pistol on my bed in my hands just to have a little bit of defense in case anything happens, because when you hear the screams and the gunshots and then cutlass banging or something, it scares the crap out of your ass. But it's crazy. I really don't want to think about it right now. But this is something a lot of Nigerians are experiencing, especially in the Lagos state. Well, amidst this terror and pandemic, all the Nigerians are taking the initiative to do good, because many Nigerians are affected by this lockdown, whose lives have changed drastically. They can't even eat because the work they do is a daily thing that has to guarantee what they eat. But now there's lockdown, there's nothing to do, there's no money, hence there's no food. So hunger is another terror that Nigerians face. But some Nigerians are going around to help the little way they can to provide food for those people affected. And so far, they've been counting increasing numbers. As at yesterday, it was 790. And they don't want to be mentioned and they don't want to be given credit, but I feel it's worth mentioning. So while we also have the paranoia and the fear and the terror and the anxiety and the thieves and the bandits, there's also a lot of good happening in these times. But that brings us to Dare Fajimolu, who will tell us the exact state of our economy and how we will be very affected, and some industries that will not be so much affected by this pandemic. Don't go anywhere. The next person that will be talking to you is Dare Fajimolu. Stay tuned.
Thanks for having me on your show. And like you said, there are more deadly diseases than the COVID-19. But the unique thing about the COVID-19 is the way in which it spreads. So it spreads faster than many of the more deadly diseases. And the fact that it also takes time to discover. So it said that it takes about 2 weeks or so before it begins to show symptoms in the body. And by that time, before the victim begins to show symptoms, and by that time, it has already spread significantly. So that's another major factor. So the main challenge really is the pressure it is putting on the health sector, not so much as a disease on its own. So because of the number of people that are reported, that are being admitted in the hospital at the same time, and the fact that even the people treating them are also exposed to the disease because that's how it spreads through contact and so on. So that is what makes it a lot more deadlier than, that is actually where the deadly part of the sickness is. And so, of course, that's why we have issues around lockdown and restrictions of movement, so that if you don't gather together, if many people don't gather together, you can reduce the chances of it spreading. And the people that already have contracted it can still, the health system can manage it. I mean, the health system, whether in Nigeria or anywhere in the world, all the health sectors are under pressure right now. So it's not so much a matter of Nigeria or anywhere, everywhere, because of the number of people that are being treated at the same time for that sickness. So that's the unique thing about it. And that's where the lockdown factor is, where we now have the economic side to it. Now, because economic activities depend on movement, which means, or you can say interaction,
yes,
essentially. And interaction movement has a lot to do with interaction, communication, and all of those things. So in terms of movement, that's where the real issue is. So take a typical example. You want to watch a football match. You go to the stadium. You have to go to the stadium for countries where they do that. You go to we do it here, but not so. So you go to those places, and that is where you have the gatherings. And in the process of interacting with each other and moving around, somebody who already has the COVID-19 that has not shown symptoms transmits it to people around him or her. So that way, and that, whether in the stadium or on the way to the stadium or wherever you're going. So it's in the process of movement, commuting to the stadium or to the beach or to the club or wherever. In the process of commuting, you spend money. In the process of entering, you spend money to get your tickets. And while you're in, you buy some snacks. So that is the backbone of economic activities, have to do with interaction and movement. So once there is a lockdown, you are not only locking down people, you are actually locking down economic activities.
Yeah.
So that's where it's different from Lassa fever, which has actually claimed more lives in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Different from malaria and all the others. So that's where the connection with economic factors are really because of that lockdown.
So what does it translate to now, and then what are the days to come looking like?
Okay. So what it means for Nigeria is, not to be honest, it's not looking bright. Because so Nigeria, if let's have a background to it, and then we come a little bit down to the layman on the street or to individual places. So as a nation, broadly speaking, there are two main sources of income for Nigeria. So it's either revenues from tax and or oil. Broadly speaking, there are several others and so on. But if you attack oil, that's a major factor, because that is actually the main source of income and taxation and co. So where you have oil, the global oil sector, for instance, about 70% of oil consumption is in the transportation sector. whether aviation, automobile, combined together is roughly 70% of global oil consumption. So where Nigeria is a major, where we depend on oil for our source of income, that means once there is a lockdown, restriction of movement and so on, 70% potentially of where of what people use our primary products for is under attack.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're losing 70% of our oil, but it just means that at least 70%, it's just like saying 70% of your customer base is having issues. So that's where we are now as a nation. On one hand, tax, you can't even talk so much about tax because recent tax release, FIRS release that shows tax increased and so on because of increasing VAT from 5% to, I think, 7.5%. So that helps. But now that, like you said, companies are laying off and companies will begin to struggle because, like we discussed earlier, it is when people move around and have these interactions that they tend to spend money. So when that movement is not there, companies are not also able to make sales. And that is where Nigeria's oil is also affected, because when movement is restricted, the people who the demand for oil is significantly going down. In April alone, in some quarters, it's estimated that global demand for oil might decline by $16 million. But of course, we know that OPEC Plus, that's including Russia and other countries, are trying to manage it by reducing output. But I don't think that the output will be able to augment the decline in demand eventually. I mean, the production cuts may not be able to augment the demand for oil. So yes, prices might rebound a little bit, but may not be sufficient to make up for the difference. So that's the general background for Nigeria. So it's not looking particularly bright. So to the layman on the street, it means also that government will be unable to execute several of its development projects that it had promised or plans to do in its budget. Of course, firstly, the income from the planned income is out of the window. Oil is down.
Yeah.
Business activities are not moving. So that's on one hand. Then on the second hand is the fact that because of that, government may not be able to execute some of its own projects. And yes, there are plans by the federal government to raise money, but we know that the money is not all going to capital projects again. Some of it, a lot of it will go to battling COVID-19. And to make matters a little worse, rating agencies like Fitch and S&P have downgraded Nigeria for obvious reasons. And so that means the implication of that is the terms of the loans that we're looking for will be stricter, which is a way of saying our interest rates may be higher than it would have been without the downgrade. So another topic for discussion because of our debt burden and so on. But the bottom line is what it means or what we should be doing. I think primary thing now is to stay safe. I mean, the number one thing that we need to do now as individuals or as a nation is to ensure that you are safe, follow medical guidelines and all the precautionary steps that have been mentioned. And also you can take this time to reflect and make adjustments in your personal space. For instance, there are several platforms now that are offering free online courses. So you probably want to take advantage of those courses and increase your skill set or strengthen your existing skill set, because when you do that, you are able to increase your effectiveness on the job or increase your chances of getting or being retained on the job or getting another job. That's if your job is eventually affected. So take advantage of those training platforms, try and improve yourself. Then also, as an individual, don't expect to return to the normalcy that you know. There will be a new normal.
Do you know how the new normal is going to look like?
So what I foresee is that there will be human behavior will will still, the human behavior will mean that people will still be a little bit skeptical of large gatherings
at the initial stage. And so we don't expect to have the initial, we don't expect to return to the normal activity mode that we used to know. So there will be people who still be skeptical of large gatherings. Some sectors,
like the commercial real estate, for instance, now that companies are seeing that it is not compulsory to have everybody in the office at the same time. So there may be some people that will be considered to maybe not to have to come to office again, and therefore the space for offices would reduce. So companies may just wait for their rents to run out and then reduce the demand for the space that they are renting. Because in Lagos, for instance, it's not only the office space that you pay for, you also have to pay for car park and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah.
So companies will probably factor that in as part of their, when companies are doing their finances and their financials. So that's part of physical infrastructure that they have to invest in, which now it has shown that they may not even need to invest in that again. So some people may have to learn to work remotely. So the benefits, the people who will benefit from that will be the telecoms company and other technology platforms that support that kind of system.
Okay.
While the commercial real estate that's rent out space, office spaces, yes, we expect some decline in that. And prices may also come down, because if people are declining to, it's just the law of demand and supply. When your demand is low, when supply exceeds demand, you have to try and adjust to attract demand to yourself. So we expect some changes in that space as well. So which is part of, so in thinking about the kind of training you want to engage in, so these are some of the factors you want to think about.
Probably as a person, you also be thinking about another space that I think will be affected will be the supply chain into space. So the way people get goods delivered and so on will now be affected, because
obvious that you don't necessarily have to be the one. Well, more obvious, we've been having supply
businesses anyway, but it's now more obvious that you can actually do without having to go and pick up some things yourself. So that might actually benefit some people as well.
Like dispatch riders and...
Yes, like dispatch riders. Yeah, so by the time they factor in the cost of having the service of a dispatch rider versus the cost of you going yourself, spending time in traffic, and
the most important thing I think is to consider that skill thing, because skill is something that has a way of making you stand out. So if many people will be out of jobs, but if you have a particular skill that either makes you better than the others, or that it is not common amongst the people, you are likely going to get a job, even if it is on a part-time basis. So that's another area that you might also want to think about, the possibility of having several jobs. So it's not very common in Nigeria. Think about all those things, and of course your time management skill, because that is what is going to bring everything together. If you have all the skills in the world and you can't manage your time, eventually it will still backfire. So those are the ways that I think the individuals can think about it and see it from that positive perspective to reflect on your own personal life goals. Okay, I think the primary thing is going to have, there will be a lot of focus now, or SMEs now more than ever should focus on cost management. Also, you probably have to understand the industry that you supply. That's where your customers are concentrated, because when you have bigger companies that are affected, they also tend to affect the SMEs that supply them. Something like technology platforms is we would expect them to benefit a lot, and telecoms companies, because many people will be shifting to that aspect too. And SME should also be considering how can they deliver some of their services using those platforms, rather than always having to do physical activity and movement that increases cost.
Fashion is not 100% economic. There is also the emotional aspect of fashion, because it's just like it said, the way you are dressed is the way you will be addressed. So if you dress well, you tend to, there's a particular type of feedback you're likely going to get. If you don't dress well, you might not get that kind of feedback.
That emotional aspect, so that may help fashion industry.
But the economic side of it also is that once people are losing their jobs, and people's priorities will change to maintenance rather than getting new fashion stuff. So instead of changing your shirt or your gown, you may want to maintain the one you have. And so they will delay purchases of new dresses or new clothing.
But the emotional aspect of it is always there, that you always want to make sure that you have something that is trendy and something that is good. But at the same time, even if you delay your purchase, by nature, the clothes will wear out. So with fashion, there will be, so what you probably just want to do is to reduce your forecast in terms of how many units you want to sell, but you know that you will definitely sell because of the emotional aspect of it and the fact that what people already have will eventually wear out. Then the second aspect that you probably want to think about is your customer type. So if you were, let's just put it this way, in this sense, you probably want to, in this case, you probably want to target the mass market, so that if, so don't make your clothes too expensive. So you need to make some adjustments in either the way you make your clothes or the quality of the materials you use. I'm not saying you should use inferior materials, but you know, they always, these things always have grades. So you probably have to be more creative about the combinations that you use, so that you don't, if you are focused on luxury
segment, for instance, you may want to modify your approach. Maybe you can now start looking at affordable luxury, which means it's not particularly up a high end, but
still quality and it still looks nice, you know. So you probably just have to rethink that aspect of your business.
Well, that was an interesting session with Mr. Dare. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise with us all on Nigeria Jollof. Well, without any further ado, we're going to go straight to Charles to hear his story about how his life changed in the blink of an eye just after he lost everything. So, Charles, what you got for us? So, take it away.
Thank you for letting me tell my story on your show. My name is Charles. I am from the streets. I don't really know if I'm offering or if I was abandoned, but I worked my way from the streets, becoming a lawyer, and then relocated to the United States. Became a big-time legal advisor to a big company and some street-like gang kind of thing. And I was living the life to help some of my folks back then in Nigeria, and it was good. It was really good. But I became from a lawyer to a fugitive overnight. I escaped from the police for a while till the gun of the streets let me. I was incarcerated for 10 years till some humanitarian lawyer took my case. I was proven innocent, but the downside to it, I was sent back to this country. Living like a king for a long while, I came back home to the streets like a rat with nothing. It was crazy. Slept under the bridge for a while, then the pandemic wave started. I was fleeing Lagos to endorse this for fear of being trapped on the streets and probably die I decided to go see my brother from another mother, whose address I got the last time was on Dole's Day, something like that. I just wanted a home stay till I can figure something out for myself. Then the weirdest thing happened. I bought the same vehicle that my long-time secondary sweetheart was boarding. Long story short, we were connected. Those jokes and serious love confessions I made to her back then in school looks like it's gonna happen anyway. The story's still unfolding, folks. No girl wants a guy like me now, but just getting bothered about shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? She doesn't care of my story or past. She's been good here, like, you know what I'm saying? Well, anyway, like I said before, the story's still unfolding, and I'm here chilling with my girl. Yes, my girl. It's weird saying that. To all my homies and hustlers out there, just cause it's tough doesn't mean it's gonna stay that way forever. If you think so, just look at me now. Keep believing and keep hustling. As long as you got life, you got everything you got to get it work again. Cause I'm gonna come back up my feet and I'm gonna storm the yard strong and big. And I'm not gonna be a lazy bum. I will make her feel I'm going to leave off her for the rest of my life. Hell no. Let the shit lockdown calm down and this whole pandemic thing just stay safe. So the lucky thing is I'm in that country where thousands of people are dying. But the sad thing is I'm sure the federal government actually know if I exist in the country. Yo, so to all, everyone, you gotta stay on Nigeria the Love. I ain't a storyteller. I guess you got a lot of questions for me about what's up, what happened exactly. I'm a storyteller, but this is just all I can get. Get it? So, stay safe, folks, and stay home. And if you're hungry, go lick some ketchup. I see you, Grant. I see you. Thank you for letting me share this story on the platform. If you want more juice, you're going to give me something more for me. Got me? Yeah, you got me. All right. Peace out.
Well, that was an interesting story from my perspective. From Charles, thank you so much for trusting Nigeria Your Love with your story. And yeah, I was looking forward for more details about what exactly happened and how you had to jump some kind of hoof and dress like a lady just to invade the cops. But maybe some other time you tell us the details. And this is how much we can take on the show today on Nigeria Your Love. I'm still your host, Gwenevere Jones, and we'll look forward to hear your stories. We're looking forward to share your stories with us and have a lot of persons listen in and get some tips or tricks to live their own life and stay safe. So if you want to send your story or you want to talk to me or something, you can reach out to us on Twitter and at Nigeria Jalove at Jalove_Nigeria, or you can send your message to me direct to my IG handle at Gwenevere Jones, and I would get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to another episode, the second episode, yeah, of Nigeria Jollof. I'm excited about it, okay? Thank you, Mr. Dari, for your time and sharing your perspective with us. I'm sure a whole lot of persons actually have gained one thing or two from it. And if you have more questions for Mr. Dari, feel free to send it in. As you listen to the podcast, just tap that voice message and just drop your questions. Or you can tweet to us at Jollof_Nigeria, or send your messages to me direct on my IG handle at Gwenevere Jones. God bless you. So till I come your way next time and have a whole lot of juice for you and every other thing you can ever think of. So yeah, stay safe, stay home, and hope the hunger don't bite your stomach too much. Like Charles said, if you're hungry, go lick some ketchup. If you don't have ketchup, you must have salt of some sort. So stay safe, folks, and be happy. Yeah, be happy. Peace out.